This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Hurricane Dorian is affecting the coast of South Carolina right now with 115-mile-an-hour winds and significant storm surge. The National Hurricane Center says the storm is moving a bit closer to shore and will be heading up to North Carolina by tonight. There in Surf City, North Carolina, this woman says she's still trying to recover from last September's visit by Hurricane Florence.
We have lack of dunes in front of us. We were a complete gut job last September.
Parts of the Carolinas could get as much as 20 inches of rain from the storm. A state of emergency has now been declared for coastal Virginia as well. A report from ADP and Moody's Analytics shows the nation's private payrolls grew more than expected last month, creating around 195,000 new private sector jobs, well above the 140,000 that many had predicted. And this is USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrin for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved. I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, I additionally lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Erickson. I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
10 Democratic presidential hopefuls focused on climate change at 10 town halls held last night by CNN. Then this morning, one of the candidates, Pete Buttigieg, said that people are looking at the issue of climate change from the wrong perspective.
I think one of the reasons why we haven't gotten as far as we should on the climate debate is we're sometimes talking about it as a scientific debate or a political debate when we should really be talking about it as a moral debate.
He was speaking on MSNBC. The deadly boat fire off the coast of Santa Barbara over the weekend may have been caused by a cell phone charging station. The LA Times reporting that the surviving crew members told the owner of the boat that carried them to safety that the fire started in the galley near where cell phones and cameras had been plugged in to charge overnight. The NTSB has not commented on that report, though it does continue to interview the surviving crew members. And this is USA Radio News.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
We told you earlier in the newscast about a pretty good-looking ADP private sector jobs report out this morning. Also out this morning from the Labor Department, the weekly jobless report, which hasn't changed much. It shows around 217,000 workers filing first-time claims for jobless benefits last week, 1,000 more than the previous week's revised total, but basically in line with what analysts were expecting. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors has declared the National Rifle Association a domestic terrorist organization, a resolution that was introduced after the mass shooting at the Gilroy Garlic Festival was approved unanimously this week. The board supervisor saying in a statement that, quote, nobody has done more to fan the flames of gun violence than the NRA. The NRA has called the passage a publicity stunt. General Motors CEO Mary Barra is to meet today with President Trump at the White House. The president's been critical of GM for closing four plants in Michigan, Ohio, and Maryland this year. And NFL is getting underway tonight, a new season of it. In fact, the 100th season for the league. The Green Bay Packers and Chicago Bears kicking it off at Soldier Field in Chicago. The game gets underway at 8:20 Eastern Time and will be broadcast on NBC. Remember, you can find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, 6 minutes after the top of the hour, we got our word for the day. Okay, mendacious, huh? When was the last time you heard that? I love that word, mendacious. I love the word only because it sounds so expensive. It really can be, because it's all about being frequently dishonest or deceitful, untrue. And as we know, we deal with the mendacious mainstream media. And here on this radio show, we are anti-mendacious, okay? We do everything we can to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. And speaking of mendaciousness, we got Dr. Jerry Newcomb is going to be joining us here, talking about something, you know, people are, whenever they talk about, our former president, and I'm not talking about recent, I'm talking about Thomas Jefferson, they always talk about, it kind of became, a bit colloquial, and that he would cut out, supposedly, the miracles from his Bible. And, so the question still remains today, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, is, did our president really edit out the miracles from the Bible?
Well, what Jefferson did was he wanted the Indians who were not familiar with the teachings of Jesus, some of them weren't even familiar with the name of Jesus Christ, he wanted them to learn about the teachings of Jesus. And he wanted to do it in a way that kind of bypassed some of the controversies that have rocked the Christian world for centuries, like, for example, trying to understand how Jesus is fully God and fully human, how God exists in three persons, but he's still just one God. And, you've got all these different things. In fact, here's what I wrote specifically, quote, "Much thought in the Christian world has gone toward important theological matters like the nature of Christ as fully divine and fully human, and the nature of the Godhead, three persons, one God, the Trinity. Jefferson felt, perhaps condescendingly, that such matters of theology and philosophy were beyond the Indians. As a result, he wanted to simplify Christ's teachings. He may have been misguided, but there's no evidence that his motive was secularization or anti-supernaturalism, as many today claim." So here, because of the Louisiana Purchase, now all of a sudden you had thousands, hundreds of thousands of more Native Americans were added to the American population overnight. Jefferson thought, hey, they don't know necessarily that Jesus said to treat others as you would have them treat you, love one another, for this is my new commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. They didn't know this stuff about, the teachings of Jesus. Forgive, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you don't forgive your brother, your heavenly Father won't forgive you. God answers prayer. They didn't know about these teachings of Jesus. He wanted them to learn about those teachings of Jesus. So one night, while in the White House, despite all of whatever pressing demands our third president had at that time, he took the time to, with a razor knife or whatever, he cut out extracts from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, some of the teachings of Jesus. Now, some of the things in there included some of the miracles. But it's not like he explicitly decided to leave the miracles out. If there was anything miraculous, oh, I got to cut it out because, you know, that. It's more like he just wanted them to learn about the teachings of Jesus so they would go and do likewise.
Right. And it, there's people today here in this country that we understand in the development of our faith that it is a process. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, Jerry, I tell you, I read... You know, I read the Bible every day, pretty much, and I say pretty much because I just, you know, being human, maybe every once in a while I may fall behind but a little bit. But by and large, my intent is always to be in the Word of God and read it on a daily basis. And I've gone through the Bible. I mean, I go through it systematically every year. I just go front to back, and line by line. And, you know, sometimes I come up and I go, wait a minute, how many times have I read that? It's just new revelation, new understanding, you know, that layer, that onion layer skin. You pull it back and, you know, and God said, you know, the Bible says, hey, look at, you know, there are seasons, there are times for things and words to understand, and they will come to you in that time of need. And, you know, and that's what happens. I stopped being surprised. I find myself being more grateful that, you know, at that point in time, here's a fresh new word. You know, it's that daily bread that God gives us. And I sit there and I go, wow, you know, that is really cool when you think about it, because it's not like God gives us day old bread or 3 week old bread. It's always daily. It's fresh, right?
That's well, very well put. God's mercies are new every morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so anyway, so, you know, here's Jefferson trying to reach out to a large group of population, not even American citizens per se, but, you know, here they are now under in American territory with the Louisiana Purchase. You look at a map and you see, you know, America before 1803 and then America after the Louisiana Purchase is huge.
Yes.
It was the biggest land addition in the history of our country done under, you know, the presidency of Jefferson. So, therefore, this idea that he had to introduce the Indians to the teachings of Jesus, I can understand why he would feel this way. And he wanted to, in fact, the very title that he gave to this unpublished work included at the end, being an abridgment of the New Testament for the use of the Indians, unembarrassed with matters of fact or faith beyond the level of their comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's no evidence that this book was ever published. There is evidence that later, about 15 years later, for his own personal edification, Thomas Jefferson did the same thing for himself. However, what he did was he included one column that was in English, the King James Version of the Bible, then another column that was French. He had served as an ambassador to France for many years. Another column that was Greek. The New Testament was written in Greek, and another column that was the same words, all in Latin. Now, here's a guy that would pore over the teachings of Jesus. Now, the real Jefferson Bible, so-called, is a Bible that they have at the museum or, you know, one of the artifacts or whatever of the University of Virginia, which he founded in Charlottesville. And that's his real Bible, the full volume, and there's definitely evidence that he was a Bible reader. He had no use for the Book of Revelation. I'll just tell you that he flat out said this is like the ravings of a madman, you know, something to that effect. You know, I read it once and it was like never again. You know,
right.
That's what he said about Revelation, the Book of Revelation. But there were other parts of the Bible that he liked very much, and one of the things that we pointed out in our book that deals with this whole thing about the Jefferson Bible, the book Doubting Thomas, that I co-wrote with a Charlottesville pastor, if a student today were to take a copy of the so-called Jefferson Bible, with all these Bible verses, you know, from Jesus, sayings and teachings of Jesus Christ, into a school, would the principal allow them to do that? Would the teacher allow them? Would they allow them to read this stuff out loud? And yet the ACLU has made Thomas Jefferson into their patron saint, and they use Thomas Jefferson to kind of squelch any Christian expression in the public arena, and they're using him wrongly in doing that.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to come front and center and address this issue head on. And I got to imagine Thomas Jefferson going, "Thank you, Dr. Jerry Newcomb," kind of balancing out the perspective here.
Sure.
We got more after this.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Are you intrigued by paranormal talk radio? You'll love the new paranormal radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the paranormal radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment. The paranormal radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Hey, millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez, live.
This is your time, your moment.
Oh, I love this song. I tell you, this is the encouragement. I mean, with all that stinking thinking out there that, you know, you got people, you know, cheering a recession for America and all this negative speak that's out there. You know, we need people that can look at the world and look at our world as the glass half full instead of half empty. I mean, you know, all for the sake of resistance, and we just don't like who's in the White House right now, so let's get totally deranged. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, conversation with Dr. Jerry Newcomb continues, author of American Amnesia, on-air host and senior producer for Truth That Transforms, which was formerly the Coral Ridge Hour, the TV outreach of the late Dr. D. James Kennedy. And with Jerry, you know, relevant to your book, and we were talking about this earlier with Karen Cataline, that America, you know, in terms of its amnesia, forgets that our founding fathers, what they had on the line, you know, when the whole idea of the great American experiment came, I mean, it wasn't just some guys off in the corner, you know, over a couple of beers saying, hey, what if, you know, kind of deal. I mean, they literally, I mean, this was a life and death proposition. They were acting in treason against, you know, the most formidable military force in the planet, on the planet at the time. And they're going, hey, we don't want to be a part of this parade anymore. And we're willing to put our very treasure, our lives, reputation, families, everything on the line for the sake of this American experiment. And what people forget is that the battle never ends. And we have to meet, you know, the current time with that kind of conviction and passion, and also appreciate, by the same token, is that as it was then, it wasn't you had 100% agreement. I mean, this was a small band of people that were very passionate and inspired to follow through with their convictions. And that is needed for today, especially when you have this movement, this antithetical socialistic mindset movement that has invaded our universities and the young people.
Boy, I totally agree with you, and I would just add one aspect too, that as the founders of this country pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, they said they were doing so with a trust in divine providence, which means we are trusting in God and God's help to see us through. And they were doing this not in a way that was lawless. They were following natural law. Right. In fact, the Declaration of Independence is a brilliant statement based on a lot of Christian documents, frankly. Mm-hmm. But it's a brilliant statement explaining natural law and explaining how the government of England under King George III had become so oppressive and so tyrannical that for all intents and purposes, the king has unkinged himself. Now, that's not words found in the Declaration of Independence. Those are actually words found in a sermon from the Reverend Jonathan Mayhew of Boston, written long before the Declaration of Independence was written. Mm-hmm. But it was part of, people forget this or don't know about this, mm-hmm. the ministers of New England in particular, in Boston in particular, helped grease the skids toward independence by basically teaching that government is here and instituted by God mm-hmm. for our good and for righteousness. And when the government becomes tyrannical and usurps God and disobeys God, then that government becomes, you know, for all intents and purposes, we the people are, allowed to disobey that in terms of civil right. disobedience. Let's put it this way. One of the phrases they used was obedience to God involves rebellion towards tyrants, or vice versa. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. They wanted to obey God. They wanted to obey God's law. They felt that the king was forcing them to do things that were wrong. I mean, for example, one of the things stated in the original version of the Declaration of Independence that Thomas Jefferson wrote, and we talk about these things in my book, American Amnesia, but he said that that basically King George III is forcing us to continue with this evil practice of slavery. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do this practice anymore. And frankly, what happened was, you know, Jefferson was part of a committee of five. that wrote up the Declaration of Independence. He was the chief author. He listed it as one of his three top accomplishments, you know, on his epitaph. He didn't even include that he was served as a president of the United States, but that he wrote the Declaration of Independence was one of them. And so anyway, they felt that, the committee felt that, you know, to get this thing accepted and passed so that we have a united front, we'll have to address that issue of slavery down the road. We will take that out for now. But anyway, Jefferson, you know, felt that way. And Jefferson himself, though, was a slave owner. And by the time he died, he was so heavily in debt. And unfortunately, part of his property, quote unquote, included, you know, slaves. Yes. And he was not at liberty to free the slaves only because he was so heavily in debt. But he wanted to, you know, and he even helped write the Kentucky Resolves and so forth, which was anti-slavery. He had earlier in life participated in something called the Fairfax Resolves, which George Washington did as well. And the Fairfax Resolves, if that had passed in 1774, but King George III wouldn't let them pass it, they could have stopped the slave trade here in America long before England stopped the slave trade. And of course, just real backing up real fast, it was the Christian people in England, William Wilberforce,
yeah, exactly,
and a coterie of like-minded men, and even a couple of women, one of the most prominent being Hannah Moore, who wrote little books, little pamphlets and so forth, promoting Christianity and Christian morality in pre-Victorian England. Anyway, they fought against slavery so hard, and they succeeded, first, in abolishing the slave trade in all of the British Empire, and secondly, in freeing the slaves in all the British Empire. And before they had even accomplished those two things, our founding fathers stipulated that when the Constitution goes into effect, 20 years after it goes into effect, the slave trade will be abolished.
Mm-hmm.
And the founding fathers never get credit for this, but the fact is they actually did that before Wilberforce's successful crusade. Prong one, abolish the slave trade. Prong two, free all the slaves. Now, of course, in America, we did abolish the slave trade, but then the cotton gin proved a greater demand for more and more slaves, so those that were here just continued to reproduce. And so while new ones were not being imported, thank God, because of the founding fathers, but there were lots of slaves that were still here, and so slavery continued until we had the terrible war of 1861.
I was going to ask you specifically about the Civil War. Why didn't the British experience the Civil War, but yet we did?
Because they, by the grace of God, agreed with the Christian people, like Wilberforce, saying, yes, we will, A, abolish the slave trade, and B, free the slaves. So by the time you get to 1861, America was no longer, fully free. It was half free, half slave. And as Lincoln said, quoting Jesus Christ, and his hearers would have known he was quoting Jesus Christ,
right,
a house divided against itself cannot stand.
Is it representative, Jerry, let me ask you this real quick.
Yeah.
Is it representative that even at that point in time, America started to move away from God?
There were certainly some elements that were beginning to. I mean, even Abraham Lincoln himself, as a young man, had read some skeptic named Volney, V-O-L-N-E-Y, or something like that. And started to, you know, move away from God. But then when he became president, and he was always an avid Bible reader,
right,
when he became president and experienced the death of his son, it ended up drawing him close to God. And he, by the time he gets to Gettysburg, he's a born-again Christian. And his second inaugural address is just filled with Bible references.
Right. But as a country overall, I just sense, you know, the difference between, here you have in England, bathed in scripture, in prayer, in theology, and in the United States, we're bathed in commerce. And so I guess the difference between a temporal approach to it and a spiritual approach to slavery. I just, that's what comes to mind. I don't know.
Well, I hear the music. And,
yes.
Am I allowed to comment or no?
We have to leave it there, because if I allow you to comment, then we're going to be, we're going to be cut off. But our conversation will always continue with Dr. Jerry Newcomb, and you know he's going to be back. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it.
God bless.
You know, most people don't know they're missing the most important nutritional components in their diet. You know, if we really want to feel good and not miss work and get the most of each day, then we need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mother's lineage. It helps our body recognize when we're under attack and fights all those nasty microbes we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is to seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstream. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Hurricane Dorian is affecting the coast of South Carolina right now with 115-mile-an-hour winds and significant storm surge. The National Hurricane Center says the storm is moving a bit closer to shore and will be heading up to North Carolina by tonight. There in Surf City, North Carolina, this woman says she's still trying to recover from last September's visit by Hurricane Florence.
We have lack of dunes in front of us. We were a complete gut job last September.
Parts of the Carolinas could get as much as 20 inches of rain from the storm. A state of emergency has now been declared for coastal Virginia as well. A report from ADP and Moody's Analytics shows the nation's private payrolls grew more than expected last month, creating around 195,000 new private sector jobs, well above the 140,000 that many had predicted. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Starting route now. Turn right at Fortress Mountain. Turn left at Mount Hood. Head south to Moab, Utah. Continue on the Great North American Test Drive.
Run with us on a John Deere Gator XUV 835 with our quietest cab ever and optional heat and AC and a four-wheel independent suspension. It's built to run where no one else can. Nothing runs like a Deere. Search John Deere Gator for more.
Didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't worry. I trust your taste in business. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. This portion of the show being brought to you by my friends at Sovereign Laboratories. They're the makers of Colostrum LD. You've heard me brag about them. Hey, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Click on their banner ad and get back on the road to health. This is, you will find, it's going to make a huge difference for you as it did for me. Hey, look, at it's back to school time, huh? You can hear the kids go, yeah. You know, as they're coming back from Hawaii, we're sitting next to a group of kids here in our row. And I go, oh, are you excited to get back to school? You know, and the parents are going, you know, they're high-fiving, you know. It's always that interesting dynamic that goes on about this time of year. But, you know, as our children do kick off another school year, you might want to consider just for a moment the importance of school buses and how they get to class. Now, a recent study released by Georgia State University linked, believe it or not, lower emission bus exhaust to improved academic performance. Makes sense when you think about it. You know, we've been kind of casual and this didn't really come to mind, but here's this study comes up and it's right there in black and white. And you go, wow, why didn't I think of that? You know, and here to talk about it and break down the research for us and what it all means to students is Tucker Perkins. He is the president and CEO of the Propane Education and Research Council. Tucker, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you here. I mean, this is like one of those things, you know, you go, wow, that makes sense. You know, why didn't I think about this before, right?
I think, you know, those of us that have really fought for clean transportation in schools, it didn't really surprise us as we talked to parents and teachers and even administrators about the impact of having children ride to school in a healthier bus in a quieter bus and really what that means. I think as I looked at the details of this study, the other thing is, and I hadn't thought about it a lot, is we actually are able to send kids to school more often because children aren't at home sick with the issues around asthma or bronchitis. Mm-hmm. So those children that suffer from lung health, giving them a cleaner ride to school allows them to be in school more frequently, and that combined with a quieter, healthier ride, it begins to manifest itself in better attendance, better listening, and now better test taking. So that study didn't really surprise us when it came out.
Yeah, because there's been a movement, and I think you and I talked about this before, if I remember, Tucker, about, you know, low-emission powered school buses. And you say, well, this is a good thing. But then when you get into a study like this, it just shows you how much more benefit is involved here when we're looking at these particular issues. When, you know, heretofore, it's always been, hey, can we just get kids to school? Can we have a school in operation? Now we're dealing with some of the nuance, which is, one of those things you say, wow, why didn't we think about this, you know, earlier? I mean, this just makes so much common sense, right?
Yeah, school buses fueled by propane really started with a concern over emissions. Actually, it started in Boston, mm-hmm. where the superintendent there actually saw what the children were exposed to as they were waiting for the bus, and he got on the bus and saw, you know, or smelled, frankly, what the bus smelled like inside. Mm-hmm. These children, you know, deserved better in this dirty air.
Right.
We focused beyond that on the money saving, and really when you can save money, what that means to a school system. But this study at Georgia State really brings it all together and began to talk about if you can have a child arrive to school healthier and quieter, how that transcends to testing. And so we're really glad to see that it supports what we thought all along, that if you give a child a chance to have a healthier bus, you give a school a chance to have a less expensive bus, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden schooling is impacted so positively.
Right.
We did a study that said if we took all the diesel buses around the country and had them operate on propane, we'd save enough money to hire 23,000 teachers nationally.
Wow.
It really begins to impact schooling, school transportation in a much positive way.
Tucker, that's huge. I mean, this is significant, you know, this kind of impact that it has. I mean, you talk about win-win-win. I mean, does anybody lose in this process?
Yes, often when I talk about propane transportation, the story is so good, I'm looking for something that, you know, is realistic. I mean, I'm a realistic person, and I want to present the facts. But as we transition from diesel school buses to propane school buses, it's better for the children. It's better for the drivers. It's better for the environment in which these school buses drive, and it makes the schools financially stronger. It is the classic win, win, win.
Exactly. In terms of buses that have been converted, what is the penetration of propane buses in school districts across the country? Are we 50%? Are we 75%? Where are we on that?
Well, I think people are surprised when we talk about it, but today about 18,000 buses delivered about 1.1 million children to school in propane-powered buses. And so we can find them in 48 of the 50 states. And so the transformation is beginning. I mean, we're certainly a very small percentage of all student transportation, but we see schools that have a commitment now. They have begun to make this transformation. Their commitment is to be 100% propane fueled as they replace their aging and dirty diesel buses.
Yeah. Well, you got to think with evidence like this, I mean, if that doesn't motivate you all the more, and all it takes is, whether a bus driver themselves, you know, to be, you know, saying, hey, enough of this stuff, or even the kids, you know, because, you know, this is what you love about the kids because they're so honest. They'll just tell you, that bus stinks, you know.
Yeah. And we first heard that from bus drivers themselves about how much more they preferred to drive a propane bus. That it was quieter, it was more powerful. The emissions were not inside the bus. Remember, you know, most buses are not air conditioned, so what's inside the bus is the same as what's outside the bus.
Right.
And so to give these children a chance to ride to school in a quieter, cleaner, healthier environment is monumental, not just for the bus driver, but certainly for the children.
Well, and the thing about this, as you said, win-win-win, the impact that it has, you know, we talk about the environmental experience on the bus, but that translates into the classroom as well, as what you were pointing out earlier.
Yeah, and the study from Georgia State really begins to confirm what we had heard from bus drivers and parents and teachers, is that these children were coming to school calmer and got into learning mode faster, and that translates to a big change in the school day for the student and the teacher.
Tucker, what's the cost differential between a propane-powered bus and a diesel?
Yeah, a propane bus may cost about $3,000 to $5,000 more, so slightly more. I mean, a bus can cost $100,000, so it's not a material difference, but certainly is a slight difference. But most school systems will see that savings paid back in the first year. Most school districts will talk about saving $3,000 to $5,000 per bus per year. And we love it when they start talking about not just dollar savings, but what they do with those savings. Omaha Public Schools said in the first wave of propane buses that they had saved enough money to hire 3 or 4 new teachers. And that's where you begin to really impact education by changing the fuel, and all of a sudden now you've changed how we learn and the quality of the tools we get to teach with.
Right. Well, you got healthier kids coming to class, so less kids staying at home. And as we know, that doesn't work for the school system because we need to have numbers of bodies. So if you have more bodies consistently going to class, I got to imagine that has an effect on the revenue base as well.
And I think one of the things that has surprised me as I've worked with this over the last decade or so is to see the number of children that are affected by childhood asthma, other chronic lung diseases, and the impact of giving them a cleaner ride to school, a healthier ride to school, the impact that makes on their own education just by being able to feel better in the classroom and be in the classroom.
Exactly.
We created a website for parents that want to engage in this.
Yes.
That website's betterourbuses.com, and it really is a forum for parents to learn about how to engage in this conversation in their own school system.
Well, that's great. Well, you were reading my mind because I was going to ask more information, but also, where else is propane being used? We got about 20 seconds left, real quick.
Well, propane has always been used in homes and farms and industries across the country, but where we love to feature it today is in these uses to replace diesel or replace gasoline in transportation. So that vehicle that delivers a package to your door could very well be fueled with propane, making a difference in your community.
The president.
Having a chance to talk with you about it, and I hope your listeners will go to...
This message is sponsored by Ameriglide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call Ameriglide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
Now that the Fed has cut interest rates by 0.25%, chances are you're paying too much for your mortgage or those high-interest credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates we've seen in 10 years. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, you probably now realize it wasn't a good idea, and the financial strain it's putting on you and your family has you stressed, and you probably think there's no way out. This is Steve Sanchez, and you know I've been an advocate for hardworking Americans just like you for 27 years, and there's a way out of this financial nightmare, and my friends at Wesley Financial, the leading timeshare cancellations company in the country, can help you cancel your timeshare guaranteed. Being lied to, misled, and pressured into buying a timeshare doesn't have to be your story, but freedom of being out of it can be. I have a special free information kit that will give you the step-by-step process that Wesley Financial uses to get you out of your timeshare guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100. That's 1-800-501-6100 or visit stevesanchez.info. You don't have to have the financial nightmare of a timeshare any longer. Wesley Financial can help you get out guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Oh, you know what that means. Needle drop and all. We're going to Hollywood. Direct. Talk to the movie guy. Let's get the latest on the big screen news.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, Bill Martinez live, along with a little help from our friends, like the movie guy, the one and only Steve Evans. Steve, how are we doing, buddy?
Well, we're doing fine. Angel Has Fallen was number one at the box office.
Boy, the numbers are, you know, the kind of money that's being generated at the box office. I mean, I'm seeing producers standing out on corners with, you know, placards, "We'll work for food" or something.
Yeah, I will produce a movie for food.
That's right. I mean, it's just not doing the big numbers here.
Well, Angel Has Fallen, you know, number one, not as impressive as it sounds because the whole box office has fallen recently. Only $11.8 million makes it a number one rated movie in this country. However, all that's going to change this weekend. We'll talk about that in a moment. Good Boys was number two, making $9.5 million. Lion King, number three. Fast and Furious, number four. Ready or Not rounded out the top five. I had a chance to see Official Secrets. Small movie, only about four screens, but it's a terrific story starring Keira Knightley. If you get a chance, it's probably going to be hitting Netflix here soon. It is the story of Catherine Gunn and the run-up to the Iraq War. I'd highly recommend it. So that's what happened last week at the box office. Not real impressive. Like I say, all that is going to change this weekend with a movie called It, Chapter 2. Did you see Chapter 1?
No.
By the way.
I did not.
Well, came out in 2017. It has become the highest grossing horror film of all time. It's all based on the Stephen King novel. It's made about $700 million. So they thought, well, let's do this again. So It Chapter 2 is coming out this weekend, and they think it is going to do well as well. They think it's probably going to make in the vicinity of $85 to $120 million. It's going to be pretty much the only big movie out there.
What is it? What is it about our endearment with horror and evil?
I don't know. Well, Stephen King.
Yes, and Stephen King.
Great novel. So, I mean, it's a great story. And we just like to scare ourselves, I guess.
I don't know.
The bottom line here. Yeah. Evil resurfaces in Derry. That's what this is about, as the Losers Club reunites in a return to where it all began with It, Chapter 2. This is the conclusion, supposedly, to the highest grossing horror film of all time. You know, I mean, we'll see about that.
You got to do at least a trilogy. I mean, you know, just saying.
It depends. with, you know, it depends upon how much movie this, how much money this movie is going to make. And of course, if it makes a boatload of money, you might have Pennywise returning again. Here's what's going on. 27 years after the Losers Club defeated Pennywise, he has returned to terrorize the town of Derry once more, as these monsters are inclined to do. Now, adults, the losers have long since gone their separate ways. However, the kids are disappearing again, so Mike, the only one of the group to remain in their hometown, calls the others at home, says, "Hey, we need you." Damaged by their experiences of their past, they must each conquer their deepest fears to destroy Pennywise once and for all. Well, we'll see about that. Putting them directly in the path of the clown that he's become deadlier than ever. Mm. It's a great cast. You got Jessica Chastain, James McAvoy, Bill Hader. 72% are recommending, and as I was saying, they expect it to make $85 to $120 million.
Whoa.
It's going to be out there this weekend.
Yeah.
Not the only movie, however. We have a terrific doc getting great reviews. 81%.
I've been looking forward to this.
Ah, me too.
I love her music, her voice. You know, she just, and of course, you know, I saw a recent interview with her, and she, you know, she's lost her voice. So, I mean,
Parkinson's, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we saw the same thing. I think it was CBS Sunday Morning.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Well done.
And it talks about the fact that she just, at one point, just could not sing anymore. And so that's what
can you imagine that? I mean, to have something to be such a part of your life, and then not have it be there anymore.
It would be very difficult.
To think about it, and that interview with Jane Pauley was just so precious. Yeah.
Right, and she seemed, Linda seemed to be quite upbeat about the whole thing. And
right, yes.
But it would be difficult, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this tells a story. Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice, tells Linda's story through her own words of music, and also you have people chiming in like Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris, Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Browne, Aaron Neville. So it is really one to see. And if you happen to be around back in the day, you remember when Linda used to be going with the governor of California?
Yes, exactly.
And if you knew...
How could she stand to be with that guy in that old car? I mean, he just drove around that old beat-up car and everything.
But if you knew when to be there at Lucy's El Adobe, you might be able to catch them snuggling in a booth. That was this bar over by the old KHJ, if you'll remember.
Exactly.
Over by Paramount, and quite a legendary place, and that's where they used to get together. Lucy's El Adobe.
Yes, so anyway, exactly. I had a chance to see her live. Did you ever see her live?
I never did.
Last time I did was she was in Irvine. And Nelson Riddle, remember they did that tour, that big band tour? And and Linda Ronstadt could, as precious as she may seem and humble as she may seem right now in her latter years, she was a pistol. And and the people, she'd tell, people would be yelling, "Oh, Blue Bayou, whatever." She said, I'm not doing any of that stuff, I'm just doing my, she's got Nelson Riddle there, and she's pretty much just flipping people off. I mean, they'll be and ornery about it. She did finally conclude the deal with the concert with Desperado. She gave us that much. But the rest of it was all big band, and she wasn't going to budge, and there wasn't going to be any montage of her past hits or anything like that. So,
where was the venue?
At Irvine. Back in the days when they would still disturb the neighbors there. Right there at the Orange County Fairgrounds.
Yeah.
I say Irvine. Yeah, probably. As Bette Midler would call it. She said Costa Mesa. That's what Bette Midler said. Okay. We're in Costa Mesa.
There you go.
Yeah.
One night to remember.
Yeah.
Yep, and it's out there this weekend if you'd like to check out Linda Ronstadt. Okay, we also have another movie here called Edie, which really looks sweet. 63% are recommending, and a nice message here. Following the death of her husband, Edie, played by Sheila Hancock, breaks free from years of his control and rebels against her daughter's wish for her to move into assisted living, and she decides to embark on an adventure that she and her father had always longed for, a trip to the Scottish Highlands to climb the world-famous Mount Sullivan.
Mm.
And along the way, she decides to hire this camping shop owner, Johnny, to be her guide. And despite their generational differences, Johnny encourages the 83-year-old Edie to fulfill her dream. Great, great trip.
How cool is that? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great concept. And this Sheila Hancock is really terrific in the role.
I think the timing of this is really, really special too, Steve-O, because, I am, and I don't know, maybe just the orbit I'm in right now, I'm running into, people that 80, 90 years old that, oh my goodness, they're pistols. They're absolutely pistols. And I love their enthusiasm. I mean, they are not, they're not going to the exit door quietly, let me tell you.
No, I am until it's over.
Right. It's encouraging. I mean, I love the spirit. And especially like right now, because our country is so ornery and we're kind of confused right now, you know, because we have sensory overload and all this other stuff that's going on. You got these older people going, you guys are nuts. I'm glad I'm getting out of here because you guys.
Age gives you perspective.
Yeah, it really does. Oh, yeah. I love it. So I love this movie. I bet this is going to be a real inspiration, not only for them, but the next generation. Usin's right behind.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Cool.
Another couple of docs here real quick. We have Rapid Response. These are stock car racing documentaries. And first of all, Rapid Response is about this medical student back in 1966. He was also a racing fan. His name is Stephen Olley. He had the opportunity of a lifetime. He was asked to volunteer at the Indianapolis 500 on their medical team. And he thought, well, this is going to be kind of fun, kind of an insider view of a sport that he really loved. It devolved before his eyes as he sees the level or the lack thereof of medical support given to these drivers whom he has befriended. And there was, you know, basically the medical support was non-existent. And the stats at that time, this was the most fatal era in motorsports. Even one out of seven drivers were killed, I think, every year.
Wow.
That was a statistic. And so he set off with a group of other physicians, kind of dedicated his life over the next 30 years to use science and develop influences in modern trauma medicine and help these drivers and help the sport become one of the safer sports now as a result of their work. So it's called Rapid Response. Interesting, Doc. And then another one called The Blink of an Eye. And this is based on a New York Times best-selling book, Blink of an Eye, and it focuses on Michael Waltrip and his star-crossed friendship with iconic driver Dale Earnhardt Sr. Now, over 462 races, Waltrip failed to notch a single win, the longest losing streak in NASCAR, and so he joined Earnhardt's team in 2001 for the Daytona 500, and on the last lap of that race, Waltrip held the lead with Earnhardt Jr. in second and Senior in third, and instead of making his trademark ruthless charge to the front, Earnhardt Sr. blocked a field of 40 cars to allow his friend to take his first checkered flag. But that's not the end of the story. Waltrip never had any opportunity to even thank Earnhardt Sr. because the legend was killed on that last lap in what was initially thought to be a minor crash. It's called Blink of an Eye, and it looks terrific. 67% are recommending that. Another movie here called Strange But True, and I have to admit I have never heard of a plot like this. It's been 5 years since high schooler Ronnie Chase died in this tragic accident, but the shock of his death is reignited when his girlfriend Melissa visits Ronnie's mother, played by Amy Ryan, and her brother to tell them that she believes she's pregnant with Ronnie's child.
Boy.
So Ronnie's family tries to dismiss Melissa's incredible claim, plunged into a web of lies, fear, and unrelenting suspense. Greg Kinnear, Blythe Danner also in this. I've never heard of a plot line like that. It's called Strange But True, 83% recommending that one. We have a lot to look at this weekend. No excuse for staying home.
No, not at all. I mean, we got some catching up to do, especially, you know, I got back from Maui. The young'un is doing great. He is thriving. He's now over 6 pounds, starting out at 4'3". And I keep thinking, I go, Steve-O, he wasn't even supposed to be here yet.
Wow.
You know, it wasn't until mid-September that he was supposed to show up on the scene, but he decided, nah, July's a good time. So he came in early with a bang.
Thank God for modern medicine. Huh?
Amen to that, let me tell you. Hey, we'll see you at the big screen. You know, big popcorn, you know? Just the way we like it.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone's telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hunters and